Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of the Double MP, the Miles Bukowski podcast. Of course, it's your boy Miles here with you for another week. We are at episode 16. Oh, man. It's been a madness. It's been an absolute madness. We have done a lot of shows. And obviously, last week we missed a show. That's because I was in Exeter, which is in the southwest of England. I'm not even gonna lie, to do the whole never eat shredded wheat on the map just to make sure I get it right. But it's near Cornwall, near the edge of the UK. I was there for the weekend and I was really desperately trying to get a show out so you guys would have some content. But I didn't get back until like Monday evening. And when I tell you my journey there was like 5 hours, but it should only be three. The journey back was on a crowded train and it was packed. And I'm not gonna lie, there was some woman who was being a busybody. She got on a like Yeovil, and I'm thinking, yeah, Yeovil, you know. I never thought in my life I'd ever be going to Yeovil, but you know, it is what it is. And like, you obviously, it's Corona, innit? It's still like lockdown and that. So if people are trying to respect social distancing, this woman got on the train, it was already busy, and there was like two seats. So I was with one of my mates, and like there was two seats, one next to me and one next to him. There's one of them table seats that you get on like overground trains for some people that don't know. So it's like two seats and then a table in between and then another seat, right? So it's usually for probably like four people who know each other would probably sit there, innit? Play cards, do whatever you gotta do to pass the train journey. My girl got on like five or seats back behind us and was trying to dictate that there was two available seats. Now, no, mind your business. No, it doesn't concern you. It's Corona times. I don't want someone sitting next to me. Evidently, someone did in the end sit next to me. It was peak. I'll get to that in a second. But I need leg room. I'm 6'3". I don't need to keep saying this on all applications. I'm tall. No, I need leg room. I was already like, yo, if one person's got this, everyone's got it, you know, because there was no windows open on this training. It was like 3 or 4 hours journey. But some women end up coming sitting next to me and she started backing up the cheese sandwiches. And I'm like, nah, man, if this train is like, this was like last week or last, no, this was on Monday, you know, it ain't even long ago. This was on like last Monday, just gone, the bank holiday. And it was like 27 or something crazy. My girl's backing out making cheese sandwiches on train, you know. No, man, it just, it was smelt. And I was like, I just come off like a heavy weekend of like drinking, chilling, being up late, you know, all the stuff that you probably do on a bank holiday weekend, depending on where you are in the world. And the cheese sandwich was just, it was too much. I was like, yo, if I throw up, good, it will stay in the mask. I was thinking some wild things. I had nothing to do. I was shattered. And I'm just like, yeah, this woman and her cheese sandwiches needs to bounce. And eventually she was there for like 45 minutes. Some people got off of like bays and soak and that, and she got off. But that was my week. And obviously that's a longer explanation as to why I didn't bring you guys an episode for last week. But we are back. I'll try and see if I can slip in an extra episode at some stage across June, maybe on a Friday or something. But in the last 2 weeks, the world has, you know, changed drastically in the music scene. When I say changed drastically, I mean it hasn't changed that much, but there's some new talking topics, which is always good. There's always something new to talk about. So that is what we're going to be running with today. Of course, I want to start off the show by talking about this brand new Roddy Ricch record, you know. It's called Late at Night. By now, if you're into hip-hop and stuff, you probably would have heard of it. It is a banger. I got it. Gonna lie, it's a banger. It's a very, very, very solid track. When I first listened to it, I was like, this sounds like High Fashion Part 2, which is on Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, which was also produced by Mustard. But like, it definitely had those type of vibes. Like, it was like High Fashion would be like a part A side, and then Late at Night would be like the part B. It's a bit later on in the night, you're chilling kind of vibe, you know what I mean? That's what I kind of got from it. Obviously, same producer. If you kind of sing the High Fashion lyrics to Late at Night, it kind of fits in pocket as well. But then I guess you could say that about like loads of other songs at the same time. Very enjoyable though, very, very good. It's good to have Roddy Ricch back. Obviously, he dropped that song Stunner Man with Birdman and Lil Wayne like a couple of weeks ago. He's been floating up. He's on that Voice of the Heroes album with Lil Baby and Lil Durk as well. So it's not like we've been, you know, absolutely starved of Roddy Ricch music. We haven't, because we've had some songs come out. But it's nice to have a song that's actually his, you know what I mean, be out there now doing bits. And great song, really enjoyed it. I went out last night And yeah, it was, I was playing that on repeat. Like, I had like an hour and a half journey, to get there, hour journey back. I had late at night on at least 10 times there, at least 10 times back. It was mad, you know, it was there. But let's talk about some of the topics that have gone down this week. First topic I want to talk about is Coyle Ray and this freak out that she kind of had after her fail, well, not even fail, but one of her performances out in America. Like, there was a video of people just staring at the stage, not dancing, not moving at all. To Coyle Ray, she kind of went on Twitter, had a little bit of a Twitter breakdown. I say Twitter breakdown in inverted commas. Nicki Minaj came out and showed some support to her, which is a great look for Nicki Minaj because, you know, in the past she's been given a lot of heat for not supporting the up-and-coming female rappers. I think she's kind of changed her stance now. And like, whereas a couple of years ago, people were like, yo, Nicki Minaj is done out here, you know, Cardi B. Now it's like, where's Cardi B at? Because that Up song was dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, respectfully, you know what I mean? Not even respectfully, but respectfully. That Cardi B song, Up, was very bad, right? Even, I didn't even bring in like 2020s issues, but WAP wasn't a good song either. I don't hear that at all. No one's playing that song. Do you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, Nicki Minaj has kind of come around and people are like, bare like showing her love and respect, which I should have been doing anyway, but she did kind of make herself a bit of a public enemy. So it's good to see her, you know, reaching out to the younger female rappers and kind of showing them a bit of guidance. Do you know what I mean? She would have been there probably about 15, 16 years ago now, because Nicki Minaj has been hot for a long time. But everyone's had like a botched performance. Now, the person who was in the video, there's one female who's like just looking at the stage like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, someone please direct me as to what Coyle Ray is doing. She had to come out and say, listen, like, when people were just trying to hear No More Parties and Big Prr, yeah, I mean, geez, shout out the sound effects, but like, people are trying to hear those, they're not trying to hear like all these other new songs. Because as much as Coyle Ray's been popping, you know, she appeared in that Musky Trackstar video and Trackstar, I said it right the first time. I had to sing the song back in my head real quick to make sure that it was correct. But we've seen her blow up in the last 6 months to a year. She had that song with Gunna called Slide that was decent as well. But she hasn't got songs on songs that, if you're on stage right now, if I'm Coyle Ray, I'm doing like half an hour performance. And it's not my headline show, so I know that people are outright here to see me. I'm doing no more than half an hour. No More Parties is like a 3-minute song. Slide with Gunna is about a 3-minute song. And Big Prr is, again, quite quick. So if I was her, I wouldn't really be trying to do anything longer than that, because people are not going to gravitate. Unless you're promoting a new single and you're using, you know, you play your bangers and say, yo, guys, I've got a new single coming up. Like, let's go. There's nothing else that people are going to want to hear. Do you know what I mean? There's no dynamic or anything of that that's going to get done. So I think it was disappointing to see. A lot of people were kind of getting onto Coyle Ray as well, saying, you know, you shouldn't act like that. You shouldn't handle your emotions like that. You can't tell people how to handle their emotions, for one. That's really and truly what it is. Like, you can't tell people, yo, you're wrong for that, you know. You can't do that, because everyone's going to handle things differently. Yes, did it make, she kind of victimize herself in that equation? Yeah, probably did still, like, do you know what I mean? But then at the same time, if you're going onto Twitter, most people who are using Twitter like that are going to be victimizing themselves on something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just, I think it's the best thing to do is to brush it off, because the timeline don't care. For, like, you'll be clowned for like, what, a day? It's not nice, don't get me wrong. People don't want to be clowned, don't want to be trolled and stuff like that. Trolling is never a good thing, unless it's, you know, friendly amongst your, like, your group, your friends, whatever. But if it's not, if you don't know somebody, you shouldn't really be trolling people like that. But people that are just moving, oh, rah, look at her. And then what she could have done is say, I remember that time when this happened. And by 6 months, a year's time, people would have forgot. Like, unless you have a good memory, people would forget that and Coyle Ray had a dead performance. And then she would have been like, this is what I command now. And she would have had a whole album out, she would have had bare songs that were hitting out, and then she could, then no one's going to be doing what they were doing at her show. But at the same time, let's make some comparisons. Let's draw some stuff here. Like, Drake at Camp Frognor, I think this is 2019, the Tyler, the Creator Festival, he got booed. Drake, yeah? So if Drake can get booed at Frognor, and people are booing him heavy, so can anyone. Do you know what I'm saying? Drake is arguably the biggest rapper or biggest artist of the 2010s of the generation. Do you know what I mean? And he's inspired so many people, and he will continue to inspire so many people way beyond if he starts making music and stuff. The difference is if Drake can get booed, yeah, Coyle Ray can get booed, man. I'm not saying that she should have got booed. I'm just, or not booed, but like, you know, like no one reacted to her. But if people can act negatively to one of the biggest artists who's got bangers on bangers on deck, why would they not do that to someone who's only got about 3 or 4 massive songs that everybody knows? And if they see her name, they're going to want to hear. Do you know what I'm saying? So overall, it's a little bit long this week seeing that go on and develop, but at the same time, Coi Leray will get over it, and I'm sure she's got some more bangers on deck. And her cooking show is not too bad, to be fair, where she makes some stuff. So she's doing all right. So I think it was just a bit of, like, it was something that wasn't something that needed to get escalated and made dramatic. But at the same time, if you're fishing for compliments and you're fishing for love, Twitter is always the place, as long as you're loved and as long as you're appreciated on that app. Anyway, moving away from Twitter talk, let's talk about the Mount Rushmore hip-hop heads of 2010 to 2020. Now, this was something that was done by Rap Caviar on Spotify. Shout out to Spotify gang. And they just basically went around and said that, yo, who do you think were the artists of the 2010s? So again, 2010s would be anywhere from 2010, obviously, to 2019. I don't count 2020, even though 2020 was a write-off year and could have been wrapped up with the last decade anyway. But the main people that were on there, we know, Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, right? They asked fans and stuff for a fourth spot, and it was out of Kanye West, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, and I can't remember who the fourth person was. This is on Twitter. Again, Twitter is a shaky place, but ended up Nicki Minaj winning. I agree 100%, really and truly. If we're going to put someone there who's made an impact, I would say she can. I mean, you think about 2010 and you think about music back then, Wiz Khalifa, if this was 2015 and you'd have like best rappers of 2010 to 15 or Mount Rushmore, Wiz Khalifa would have had a shout. But he kind of fizzled out. You know, there's other names that have come in and, you know, probably don't get as much credit as they deserve. Fetty Wap, not gonna lie, you know, like I played 679 in my mate's car on Friday and it still popped. I ain't heard 679 in like 5 years, but it banged. So there's some people that could have had honorable mentions. I mean, Kanye West, I don't think had a great 2010s. Like, I mean, My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy was a great album, but Yeezus for me, as much as I've unpackaged songs and I've enjoyed some of the songs now, in 2013, I wasn't here for hardly any of that apart from New Slaves, Blood on the Leaves. Black Skinhead grew on me as I kept hearing it on like TV adverts. Bound 2 was decent, but let's not lie, everyone just was here for the video. Lil Wayne was big, but we spent most of the 2010s waiting for the Carter 5. When it did drop, it wasn't that great. I mean, it was decent, but it wasn't hitting. Even Funeral, that came out in 2019, no, it came out in 2020, the Funeral album, that wasn't that great. Even the Deluxe weren't amazing. So really and truly, like, Lil Wayne is the GOAT of the last decade, and he's still going to be influential. Like, on my radio shows, I've definitely been, you know, showing a lot of love to a lot of Lil Wayne's recent collabs and stuff like that. So I definitely suggest listening to my show, you know, because I do some sort of predictions and some stuff I mentioned on that. That's Wizard Radio every single Saturday from 5 to 6pm. And also on Friday nights from 10 to 11 where I do a mix show where you hear me DJ. But what, like I've said, Lil Wayne is just, he's always going to be respected. He's always going to be a GOAT. You know what I mean? Like, but if we're talking about people who are not around in that 2010 like that, who became massive artists and well-respected, I feel like Drake, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne and Kendrick take that spot. If they made it like 6 heads or 7 heads, you could have Travis Scott in there. I think Travis Scott might have actually been the last person like in that Twitter voting category, but I feel like Travis Scott blew up more 2015-16 than it was 2010. 2011 was Al Fero, and most people probably don't know what Al Fero is. So exactly, the Al Fero was one of his first mixtapes, if not the first mixtape. And most people might have not been rocking with songs like Up Echelon with like 2 Chainz and T.I. I think they were the features on that song. So, you know, it's different. It's not the same scope, do you know what I mean? So I feel like the Mount Rushmore thing definitely just made sense. But moving on, final topic, you know what I mean? We're getting towards the end of the good old podcast so far this week. But let's talk about CJ. CJ as in CJ from Whoop Day, that song, right? Obviously, I didn't say it great. I literally woke up like not that long ago. So I was ready to come talk about some topics, you know what I mean? I was ready to come through and jump on this ASAP. But let's talk about CJ because a lot of people have been onto CJ from jump. When Whoop Day came out, I think it was towards the end of last year, like the beat is amazing. And I feel like with CJ, he was onto a winner because some people, it's like, right, I have to let me do some history before I bring it to the current times, right? So like When Pass Out by Tiny Temper, shout out my UK gang, right? When that came out, the beat was so amazing and Tiny Temper worked perfectly on it that no one could really work with it. Like, no one could chat any nonsense. Like, so many people tried to do remixes, even like Snoop Dogg and all these other people. I think Busta Rhymes tried to do a remix. Snoop Dogg definitely did a remix of it, but it didn't bang. It just weren't a thing. It's like, some people are just made for certain beats. Do you know what I mean? And that, like, Whoopty song, I couldn't really hear anyone else on it. They made the remix of it, which I think had Rowdy Rebel and French Montana on it. It didn't bang. It wasn't great because they remixed the beat as well. And it's like, bro, if it's a remix, just remix the vocals. I don't want to remix the beat. Do you know what I mean? This is not the 2000s where them man did like T-Pain did like I'm in Love with a Stripper and then changed the beat. Even though that banged this time, a Whoopty remix, it didn't bang at all. But people have been onto him saying, yo, he's not real, he's not this and that. You know, a lot of people have been asking him questions and stuff. Like, Fat Joe asked him, yo, what does Whoopty mean? And he said, I made the term universal, blah, blah, he's bigging himself up, CJ. And really and truly, it's like a gang greeting in New York, in one of the gangs. I think it's a blood gang in New York. So automatically, people from that blood gang have come out and say, yo, like, he ain't affiliated with us. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is some any human, nah, like, dead. Like, don't do that. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, for them, I mean, they have every right to say that. If it's their greeting, it's their reference, then yeah, why are you using it? Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, we all know that certain things become colloquialized and they can definitely expand and reach out further than where initially a term was started. That's for anything. Do you know what I mean? The amount of words that are in the UK slang dictionary or urban dictionary, as we're going to call it, just for the sake of it, they branch out anywhere. I remember going to Cardiff and I heard someone say to me, what are you man saying? And it wasn't like a pull up. It was just asking questions. Don't get me wrong. Shout out my Welsh gang. It sounded weird. It sounded weird as hell to hear that in Cardiff. But, and especially with the Welsh accent. But am I going to discourage? No. Maybe that's like, if that's how you talk. Or just don't be doing that selective talking around me as well. I don't like when people try to do that. You know, I talk normally. So don't try, hello, how are you? And then you see me, what are you saying? No. Just say, if you say what you say to everyone, say what you say to everyone. If you say hello. Simple as that. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. But with the whole CJ situation, everyone found out that his uncle was in the music industry as well. So people were like, oh yeah, he got a co-sign through that. Bit like how the kid Lorray had one similar, like Hello Yassine on YouTube did a whole big expose and there was a whole back and forth going on with that. We're not here to do that. But 22Gs, who's like another drill rapper in New York, who's definitely around longer than CJ, said that, you know, he's been just stealing lyrics. CJ's been getting at everybody saying that I'll beat people up and all this. And it's all a bit long. And right now, the way the music world, and I say that in inverted commas as well, because the music world and the actual world is two different, big different things. A lot of people are not on CJ's wave. And people are like, I don't really get CJ, I don't understand it. And then what they're doing is they're making comparisons to 6ix9ine. Now, I don't think this is necessarily the fairest thing to do, because I think because of the way 6ix9ine made such an impact, became one of the biggest rappers of 2018, had an L, came out 2020, dropped Goobar, and he's kind of gone a little bit quiet now. Or I haven't looked at social media, so it's probably louder on that than he is anywhere else. So, but music-wise, like, his album flopped and stuff. Like, people are trying to find the next 6ix9ine and try and expose them early so they don't get that blow up. And to be honest, with CJ, with the EP that he dropped, it wasn't great. What I will give 6ix9ine, which I can't give like CJ, 6ix9ine arguably was a better artist than CJ thus far. Because when 6ix9ine was doing like, was it Goob, no, was it Gummo, then Kuda, then Billy, then like he had like 7 tracks or something like that, all on the Hot 100. And I can't lie, even though some of them started to sound the same towards the end, they're all hits, like they all bang. And the fact that so many artists who kind of like disowned him once he snitched, air quotes, like showed how many people actually wanted to work with him, where I've seen a reluctance of people to really work with CJ so far. And I don't know, signing to Coke Boys with French Montana might not necessarily be the greatest look for you either. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think people want to be very quick to like get a CJ and say, yeah, like I don't get it, like you're fake, you're not a real gangster and stuff like that. Me personally, I'm not a gangster, don't really care to be honest. But if it, like right now, I think the best way for CJ to combat this like negative criticism and stuff around his name is to just drop bangers. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, of course, it's going to be sticky for him because, like, if people in New York are getting onto man and you're talking stuff in your tracks, people are going to say, back out then, innit? Like, prove it. You know what I mean? If I say I scored a worldie at the Euro 2020 finals and someone said, prove it, where's the footage, fam? You know what I'm saying? I weren't there. You know what I mean? England ain't getting that far. Do you know what I mean? So where am I going saying that? But, do you know what I mean? It's obviously, that's a bit of a wild comparison, but you know what I'm trying to say. So the whole thing is, yeah, it's like, If he can just drop music and bangers, and I think he just recently dropped one with Farruko, so he's trying to go down like the reggaeton route and that. If he can just stay consistent and build a lane for himself outside of hip-hop, mind his own business and just do what he's got to do, so be it. But if he's going to talk about that life, then someone's going to want to prove it to him, and you know, you don't want it to be a sticky situation for man, because that's where the problems are going to arise. So let's just wait and see what happens in the next 6 months. Is he going to be a one-hit wonder? Is he not? There's a lot of things to unpackage in that whole situation. But I'm out of the building. I'm going to go. I want to wish you guys a fantastic week. Make sure you set up your week right. I ain't going to lie, I've got weddings to think about very, very soon. So man's going to be, you know, back on the healthy wave. The lockdown wave is over. I've been hitting gym already, but I need to go back and like start hitting it properly and start getting that broccolini and the asparagus and all them veggies in my life. You know what I'm saying? So, but right now I'm off. I'm going to go watch a couple films and I'm going to go get some takeaway. And it's a bit mad, you know? I'm recording this on the Sunday. I'm recording this yesterday, technically. By the time you guys hear it, if you're listening right on the Monday, it's a different story. Do you know what I mean? By then, I'll be on the broccolini and the asparagus. But for now, I'm just going to get myself Chinese. I'm going to go get myself some Haribo. I'm going to get myself a drink. I'm going to keep it moving. So you guys, thank you for listening as always. Make sure you follow me on socials at Miles Mikulski, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram's definitely better. I'm going to be doing some changes to my whole Instagram page and stuff as well. So there'll be more stuff about the podcast, there's more information, maybe some extra talking points that I'm going to bring towards the podcast as well. I've got a few ideas. I'm just putting them into motion right now. So I'm back and I'll see you guys very, very soon. Take care. Stay safe. Stay blessed. In a bit. Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.